Amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wow. Feed us till we want no more. Amen. Shall we be seated? Father, thank you for all these offerings. Blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we'll be going to feed our friends right there. Is it Green Street? On Green Street. All right? And I'm encouraging all of us to be a part of it. Okay? If there's any just cause, why you will not be able to do it? Let us know now. All right? But I'm praying and really believing that we'd all come. It is a very great opportunity. All right? There are different kinds of ministry. And you can see it when God actually put the tabernacle together. And you could see that there was the outer court, and there was the inner court, and then there was the holies of holies. And as a Christian, God expects you to minister in all these three areas, all right? So the outer court ministry is when we are ministering to people out there, and God expects us as his children to be a part of it, you get it? And from there, he expects you to also minister to the body of Christ. And that is the inner court. And then the holiest of holies is your own personal worship time with God, you see. So as a Christian, you need to fulfill all that. You have to have your own worship time where it is just you and God lying on your blue carpet. Do you know why I said the blue carpet? With what? Yeah, it's like Bishop, you know, and just worshiping God and having your wonderful experience with him. And God expects you to also become a shepherd and minister to other people in the body of Christ. And then the greatest of all is also being right there, out there, ministering. That's why he said when he comes, he would find out, you know, that he was hungry, was thirsty, and did we do all these things, you see. So let's make sure that we are part of it. Right after service, just go and get Auntie Evelyn's pie or buy some of her. She has watched it too, isn't it? Yeah. And all that. And we eat and then we'll go right there to minister. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you excited about today and the ministry that we are going to do? And the great thing is that God has a scripture for us just for that. I said, Lord, is it possible that you brought this, our scripture for today, just to encourage us concerning the work that we're going to do? And I feel that is very, very prophetic. So don't count yourself out. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this morning. We ask for the spirit of understanding. We ask Jesus for the spirit of revelation. Let it come upon us and pray that our hearts will be touched, will be ministered to, and with this ministration, we'll go out there and be a blessing to others also. Thank you, Father, for your fresh anointing over us, O God. Thank you that, Father, even as I'm speaking forth your word, may your angels, O Father, even move round and plant these things deep in our hearts, O God. Yes, that with these things, O Father, we'll become better children of yours. We give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So on the 30th, as I mentioned, we would have a meeting. All right? The ladies, don't miss it. And our Lady Reverend every year has a book for us. And this year she chose What It Means to Be Wise as a Serpent. All right? So 1:30, every lady in the church, come and let's study the word. And I started with a little teaser last week. And you can already see that the book is powerful. Yeah, very, very, very powerful, deep book. All right? That's our beautiful mother. Wow. Have you seen such a pretty woman in my life before? She is so beautiful and very anointed. You know, sometimes you can see a woman who is beautiful, but it's just clothes and shoes and bags. But our mother is heavily anointed, called to stand with our father, the bishop. All right, so 1:30, we want to come and want to study the word together. Amen. So our key scripture was Matthew 10:16. And what does it say? Is the technical team getting it, or I need to open my iPad? All right. It says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents." All right. So it's Jesus himself who is saying it. All right. That the serpent has a particular wisdom that we need to find out and to tap into it. All right. So Jesus is saying that because of the work that we are going to do, or because of where we are going to be, he wants us to become wise as serpents and also harmless as doves. So what does it mean to be wise as serpents? It means that the serpent has some wisdom that we need to know about. And if you look at creation, realize that creation speaks to us in various ways. One of the most amazing things that, you know, this week I mean, the person was trying to teach me, but I'm like, okay, I remember when I used to study with my kids, I used to know about it. And it's about the monarch butterfly. The monarch butterfly is an amazing butterfly that, you know, once it sees a winter is coming, they begin to migrate. And as they migrate, they lay eggs all the way. And they migrate all the way. Can you imagine? A monarch butterfly can migrate from South Texas, go up north. From north, they go all the way to Mexico. I mean, a butterfly. Wow. And you realize that, why did God give them such amazing wisdom? A butterfly. You see, so you can see that creation has a lot of wisdom. And the serpent also has a lot of wisdom. All right, even though usually we use it to represent Satan and all that, but we are talking about serpents. You know, there's a lot of wisdom in the serpent. And one of it, like we learned, is its ability to handle handicaps. That despite its weakness and doesn't have legs and all that, you can find snakes everywhere. Anywhere you go, certainly you find a snake. Whether I go to the Arctic, Antarctica, the desert, the forest, behind your backyard, and anywhere, it doesn't matter where, New Jersey, Texas, go anywhere in the world, you find a snake. But your probability of finding an elephant is very, 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 very limited, you see. So the serpent has been able to survive all the difficulties and everything. The dinosaurs were there walking around, all these behemoth, huge things, elephants, all these things, they are all gone. But the serpent is still around because it has some what? Wisdom. Amen. And we need to find out, and we learned one of it that is able to handle what? Handicaps. Amen. Today we want to take another one about the serpent. So the woman, don't miss it, all right? Because this book is inexhaustive. As you're looking at the thing, you're like, which one do I need to even study, and which one do I need to know about? But today I'll take the one in chapter 7, that serpents are masters of maneuvers. Masters of maneuvers. Matthew 21, 28 to 30. Matthew 21, 28 to 30. Masters of maneuvers. It says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go to work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second one and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' And went not. So here we have a man with his two sons, and he told one of them, go and work in my vineyard. And initially he said that I was not going to do it. But afterwards he decided he had an ability, and that ability was the ability to change his mind, the ability to change his decisions, the ability to say that even though initially I decided that I wasn't going to go, now I've made up my mind that I'm going to go. But unfortunately, the one who said, I go, say. And sometimes we are guilty of that. Are you going to come for the prayer meeting? I'll come. Oh, Reverend, I'll be there. Cry. We'll add cry to the thing. But then the man of God will be waiting and waiting and waiting, and lo and behold, you don't even show up. Yeah, but he said that I will go. And rather, he didn't go, you see. So the key here is that we should have the ability to change our minds. You see, you can't be a person that you are so stiff and, you know, everything, because I've said this or I decided that last year, this is what I'm going to do forever and ever till Jesus comes. I am going to do that ability. Yeah, or do that particular thing. You realize that serpents are not like that. A snake has an ability to maneuver. You see, like, you know, Prophet Kakra sat in a taxi and the taxi driver was driving anyhow. And he was like, hey, Charlie, it's my life. Be careful, man. And the taxi driver told him, as for taxis, they have the ability to do maneuvers. A taxi can do a U-turn. A taxi can do a C-turn. A taxi can do an S-turn. It does not matter whatever it is. A taxi can do any kind of maneuvers. Yeah. So it's like, don't be afraid. Even though I'm driving here, that it's because I'm driving a cab or a taxi, you see. A taxi has the ability to do maneuvers. But that is how serpents are. They have the ability to what? Maneuver. Snakes have the ability to maneuver. And the great thing is that if you look at the head of the skull, the head, you know, God has made it such that it is not fused together. It's made up of little, little bones, and all those little, little bones are connected with ligaments. So with those little, little bones connected with ligaments, that's why you can see a snake is able to open his mouth and eat a prey that is so big. And he'd be like, ah, this thing is so huge, but he's able to open his mouth and swallow the whole prey up because it has the ability to move its mouth just like any, you know, to be able to swallow things because its head is not fused together. And it's able to move, even if you put it in a tight corner. If you watch any wildlife and anything, you put a snake gets into a tight corner, it's able to move its body and come out of it. It's able to fly. It's able to climb trees. It's able to make itself, if you've seen a snake, I was watching a documentary, and I was watching this snake on a tree, and it wanted to move from one tree to another tree in a rainforest. And it flattened itself in such a way that it was able to just jump over. Shh. It doesn't have wings. But it was able to do that maneuver and fly to another tree. And that is the awesome wisdom of the serpent. Its ability to do or make maneuvers. You see? So when Jesus says that, be wise as a serpent, he's trying to tell us that let us have an ability to be people who can have maneuvers. You get it? We need to develop that ability in us that when you are at a particular place, if you need to be able to change in a particular way to fit that particular situation, get that ability in you to change in that particular way to fit that particular situation so that you'll be able to progress and to move forward. Yes. Because if you are just stiff, know, and you are inflexible. And all that, you know, there are some people that will tell you that, as for me, I'm very, 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 very principled. I mean, who is not principled? I'm so principled that then they'll hit their chest. And I've said it. And I'm not going to change. Hey! And the thing is destroying. Maybe it's a marriage. You understand? And maybe just to let your wife have a little way so that at least something nice will flow in the house. You are like, oh, no, 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 no. As for me, I am not going to allow my wife to do anything here. And then your whole marriage is being destroyed because you are saying that you are so principled. Yeah. But if you have the wisdom of a serpent, your ability to what? Maneuver. Maneuver. You see that even though maybe it may not be something that you are too excited about, but it's like, it won't kill and hurt anybody. It's just white rice and brown rice. And she says that she doesn't want to eat the white rice anymore. This one is not going to kill anybody. So, you know what? It won't make any difference. Let's eat the brown rice. 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 Yeah. Ability to what? Maneuver. It says, snakes are masters of many maneuvers. They can move in many different ways. They can climb, they can swim, they can stand, they can move forward, they can move sideways, and they can even move backwards. Snakes can contour its body to ride in the air like the wing of an airplane, and can even steer its body in a particular landing spot. Isn't that amazing? Flying snakes glide in the air and are able to glide to a distance of 100 meters. He says snakes have a greatly reduced weight of the skull, and that allows for greater mobility than the skull. Flexibility and maneuverability are important for success. You have to be what? Flexible. And you have to be what? Someone who can what? Maneuver. And he says it's important for success. It's important for success. All right? Yes. Says your ability to maneuver and to change, your inability to maneuver and to change will spell your downward fall. You see, if you can't change and you can't maneuver and you are just fixed and fast and set in your ways, it's more likely, yeah, that most of the time you have problems and you'll be going downwards. Yeah? If you look at most successful companies and things, you realize that there are changes all the time. Changes all the time. All the time. Today this person was doing this. The next day the person has been moved to do the other thing. The next day, this day, they came up with this new policy. Another time there's another new policy. And there's a new policy. And then another new something. Then they will say we are upgrading. We are doing that. And sometimes you're like, ever since I started this position, I've been moved 4 or 5 times. They've asked me to do 4 or 6 different things. That is the route to success. Changing things, trying this, changing this. But our inability to what? Maneuver will spell our what? Our downfall. Amen. So the first point, you know, that we are learning about being, like the serpent, is that to be wise as a serpent, you must be capable of U-turns. You must be capable of U-turns. You have to be like the cab. A taxi, it can make a U-turn, it can stop, can do an S-turn, can do a C-turn. Yes. You have to be capable of a U-turn. Amen. Luke chapter 15. Capable of U-turns. Capable of U-turns. That's fun. Capable of U-turns. Capable. Luke 15, 18 to 20. We know the story of the prodigal son. This is what he said. He had gone, he had backslidden, he had problems, he had issues, things were not going right. He was now feeding, you know, pigs, and was even so hungry he wanted to eat pig food. But he didn't stay there. You get it? He said something. He says, I will arise and go to my father. And I'll say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This boy had gone so far away, but he did not stay in his condition. He said, he made a decision, said, I will arise and go to my father, and I am going to repent. I'm going to tell my daddy that, look, I did not do well. You have to come sometimes to a point and say, Lord, I am not doing well. Or maybe, you know, sometimes God has asked you to do something, and for a long time, you are not doing it. You should be able to rise up and say, Lord, I am not doing well. And a U-turn means that you are going north, but you realize that the way was what? South. So you turn and go south. You understand a U-turn. Or you are going south, south, south. I-95, south, south, south. Then suddenly you realize that no, the direction where you are going, destination, is on I-95 north. So suddenly you go exit, do a U-turn, and then you go north. It means that you go the opposite direction of what you were doing. And that is what repentance means. To stop what you are doing, turn around and go to the highest point, to the pentagon, to the highest point of where you used to be. And as a Christian, we need to be able to do that in our lives. In our lives as Christians, we should be able to come to a point and say that, I need to change my mind about this. Yes. If you are a husband, a wife, a student, a son, a daughter, maybe your behavior, something, you should be able to say that the way I am behaving and the way I keep behaving, I keep getting these same results. You see, you keep getting these same results. You go to work, your bosses don't like you. The next thing, you are thrown out of the job. The next day, the same thing. You go to job A, job B, you are thrown out. Other people are promoted, and then you become jealous. The next time, you are thrown out. You should be able to say that, no. The way I behave, when I'm given something to do, I'm not even diligent about it. And I'm just here every day quarreling, arguing, eh, it's because I'm black. These people, they don't like black people. They are racist. And, not and you are playing the racist game. Yeah. You should be able to look at yourself and say, I am not doing well, you know. And then if you are going north, you do a U-turn and go south. Yeah. And those things, sometimes it's very difficult for us to do, especially when you feel disappointed by God. Oh, yes. When you feel disappointed by God, maybe at first your relationship with God was very deep, with somebody who used to spend time with God. But now you feel that, I've been praying for so long, God, he hasn't even answered my prayers. Why should I continue praying? Yeah. Yeah. I know, I remember a friend of mine. She used to even work in the ministry. No money, they won't pay her nothing. She was just doing everything out of her heart, flowing, willingly, excited and all that, you know. But she was a kind of person who believes that, you know, things rarely happen automatically, that you don't need to pray for the will of God to happen in your life. It's a mistake. You need to pray for the will of God to happen in your life. Yes. Jesus prayed that the will of God would happen in his life. He prayed 3 hours. If Jesus had not prayed 3 hours, that the will of God happens in his life, do you know what could have happened? Pilate could have just said, I'm setting you free. He could have just changed his mind. Yeah. He said, look, me, I love my wife. Oh, I don't want any trouble in my house. My wife has said that I shouldn't have anything to do with this man, and I'm not going to have anything to do with this man. I'm setting him free. Let him go. Herod could have also, Jesus could have even run his mouth when he went to her. Who are you? Then Jesus could have gone on, I am a king. I'm coming to you. Oh, yeah, it's true. People are jealous of you. Don't mind these Jews. I am Herod. You are free to go. Or Judas Iscariot himself could have said that as he was going, then suddenly he said, what sort of bad thing is that? That's ridiculous. How will I want 30 pieces of silver just to betray my master? What's wrong with me? And he could have just gone, I'm not going to do this. And he would have changed his mind. And the plan of salvation would have not come to pass. And Jesus knew it. So he was in the garden praying that the will, even though it's difficult, that the will of God be done in his life. So you have to be praying that the will of God be done in your life. And the fact that maybe someone has prophesied that I saw you standing on a crusade ground and preaching. I saw the lame walking. I saw the blind seeing. I saw miracles and signs and wonders and many miraculous things happening in your life. And I saw you becoming a multimillionaire. And you were doing this and that. It does not mean that you should just be there. You have to constantly pray. Let your will be done. Let your will be done. You know. But she thought that, the will of God, it will happen automatically. So as the years went by, here she is, a virgin, 40, no marriage. 45, no marriage. Almost 50, no marriage. Then she's just thinking, these ladies who were all over the place, 4, 5, 6 boyfriends. Lord, me, I was in your house doing your ministry, serving you, doing everything. I wasn't even being paid for the ministry that I was doing. Here I am, this one thing that I'm praying for. You are not giving it to me. Her heart began to become sad. Sad, sad. And look, as time went on, you could see that the ministry, all those things, she was not doing it as she used to. Tell that there's something going on that she wasn't so excited about the things of God, you see. But as a Christian, you have to get to the point and say, I need to do a U-turn. Say, God, I've fallen away from you. I've fallen away from you. My heart is not the way it used to be. My service to you is not the way it used to be. My excitement about the things of God is not the way it used to be. And you have to rise up. Say, Father, I'm making a U-turn. Maybe you are disappointed with your marriage. So because of that, your heart is heavy and hardened. It's time to make a U-turn. Or maybe you are disappointed with something that you asked God for. And because of that, your heart has changed. It's time to make a U-turn. And say, Lord, I'm coming back to you again. Amen. So it's time, hallelujah, for us to begin to what? Make some U-turns in our life. Another person who made a U-turn was Zacchaeus. When he came to Jesus, he said, Jesus, look, I've been corrupt. I've swindled people. I've made all these mistakes. It's time for me to make a U-turn. And he made a U-turn. And he came to Jesus, and things changed in his life. Amen. Another thing that we can do, that shows that we are as wise as a serpent, is to make C turns. All right? So the first one is what? U-turn. And the next one is what? C turns. A C turn is to swerve to the side. All right? It is not a reversal, But it's a maneuver that takes you off the wrong course onto a better way. Do you understand what C10s are? Like you are going, all right? Or maybe when you are driving and you see a huge pothole, or maybe there's something in the middle of the road, okay? Suddenly you just go off it and then you come on the right path, all right? Because if you keep going on, you're going to either fall into the ditch or you're going to fall into the pothole or whatever it is, you see? So as a Christian, we have to also be able to make what? C-turns, U-turns, C-turns, all right? And what is a C-turn? Let's see, let's look at an example of a C-turn. Luke 8:37. And everything that we are doing is scripture, isn't it? Yeah, it's scripture. Luke 8:37. He says, and all the people of the country of the Gadarenes and the surrounding district asked him to leave them, for they were gripped with great fear. And he got into a boat and returned. He got into a boat and returned. Jesus did not stop his ministry of casting out devils and healing people. He just shifted from the country of the Gadarenes to where he was more welcome. It is not wisdom to be too stiff or insistent on your original plan. That can get you into big trouble. You must be flexible and capable of C-turns. So Jesus went there. He performed a miracle. And the people were afraid because it was like their business was trying to spoil. Hey, we've been rearing these pigs for probably maybe 20, 30 years. We've been in this pig industry. You come, you cast out a devil, 100 of our assets are lost. And they were like, hey, 100 pigs rush down and they are totally lost. And so they told Jesus that, look, just leave quietly. We beg. Just take all your this thing and go. But thank God, Jesus has sent that madman. Yeah, he knew that, you know, I mean, he's saying now, but he knew that the man was going to do the preaching for him. So when they told Jesus to leave, hey, no qualms. He quickly went back into his boat and he left. Yeah. But many of us would have said, I am going to stay. I've come here, I've done this miracle. You people are ungrateful. Are you too happy that I was here and all that? Why are you not being appreciative of that, you know, and all that? But Jesus realized that this is a place that he wasn't welcome, you see. And he did not force himself there. He just decided that if you want me out, I'm out. He took the boat. He went right back. But it does not stop his ministry, you get it? Yeah, so certain times, there are certain things in your life that, you know what, you still continue on that same path. But where you are doing that particular thing, you are not being fruitful. You understand? It's not every job that you are cut for. And it's not every place that you are cut to work. And it's not every job schedule that will even help you as a Christian. Yes. And the fact that the thing is a job and it's a job, it does not mean that for you in particular, that thing is going to be a blessing to you. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to learn to do C-turns in your life. Yeah. C-turns in your life. My brother, before he became a pastor, was working at a brewery. An alcoholic brewery. Yes. He was one of their data people there. Because he did data management and all those kind of things. And I used to go there. When we go there, they used to have the malt version of it. I'd just go and sit there and enjoy some. I mean, it was nice. It was one of the top breweries, you know, in that country. But here he was. Now he's become a pastor. Are you still going to work in that brewery? Question. Yeah. And he looked at the whole thing. He said, this thing with my job and my ministry, it doesn't go hand in hand. So he did a C10. Yeah. One of our brothers, he used to say that, you know, he was like, he used to work in this hotel where this da-da-da. But it was a hotel in New York where a lot of these gay people come, and he's very good. He's a good cook, he's a good chef, and he used to work night shifts. And then he was working in all this place. As time went on, he got into pornography. It did not end there. Now he started having, you know, gay partners. Yeah. He had videos, things. And I mean, I don't know when the wife discovered it, but she was trying to cover it up, but she realized that the thing is not working. Then finally she came to tell the pastors, you know. But the problem was where he was working. So they decided to totally move. C-turn. Restaurant, you can work. And all that. But they totally moved and went to Ohio. And now when I look at his pictures with his wife and kids, and they've grown in such a beautiful family, I just say to myself that this guy would have just destroyed his whole marriage, his whole life, and everything because he was working in this particular place. Yeah, because he started saying, oh, he likes men, and hey, his wife was terrified. My God. Hey. His wife was like, my goodness. And Reverend and another Reverend, they spent one whole night talking to him, convincing him that he wasn't gay. Hey. A married man with 4 children. Hey. Suddenly, he says he likes men. But it was because of where he was working. It was because of where he was, you see. So sometimes you need to take what? C-turns. All right? And let's look at other people who took C-turns. In John chapter 1, verse 35 and 37, you could see that these people took some C-turns in their lives. It's about the disciples. They were with their father, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was their father. They were ministering with him. They were happy in his ministry. They were there doing all those things. And John the Baptist baptized Jesus Christ. Then one day, this happened. The following day, it says, and again, John 1, 35 to 37. John 1, 35 to 37. It says, again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples and looked at Jesus as he walked and said, behold the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. We would have said that, look, you are not being loyal or whatever. But here was John the Baptist. He is telling you that this is the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God. So they realized that, no, this is someone greater. So suddenly, they made a C-turn. They said, John, you've taught us up to this point. Now, if we had really met the real Messiah, why should we keep still being your disciple and why should we keep still following you? So they said, all right, we go. And still in the ministry, you get it? They are still in the ministry, but now they were with Jesus. You see, so in life, you have to have the ability to make C-turns, maneuvers. This is not working, then go around it. This is not good, then go around it. That is not working, then go around it. Don't just look at the obstacle and stand there and just be binding the obstacle. I bind you, obstacle. Oh, you can be binding and binding and binding and binding. God wants you to have the wisdom of the serpent and go around it and find another wise way of dealing with that same thing and going back on track. And if you are that able to maneuver, you see that, lo and behold, you are becoming successful with whatever it is. Yes. In your marriage, you become successful. In your business, you become successful. In everything that you do, you become successful. Amen. The next thing that a serpent has is it has the ability to stop. To be wise as a serpent, you must be capable of stopping. Of stopping. Of stopping. Of stopping. Of stopping. Yes. Sometimes you see the snake going, then suddenly you see something, then it stops. And they are very patient. Maybe especially if it's looking for a prey, it will stand there quiet. Quiet, quiet, quiet. Then suddenly, to just suddenly jump and take its prey. And we also need to have the ability to stop. If Jesus even had the ability to stop, you realize that in Luke chapter 18, Jesus stopped. How come you can't stop? I said in Luke chapter 18, Jesus stopped. How come you can't stop? Luke 18, 35 to 43. It says, as Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that was Jesus of Nazareth passing by. And he called out saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Immediately, he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. When all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. Your ability to stop. Your ability to what? Stop. Yes. This one, very, very important. All right? Your ability to what? Stop. In the Bible, there was this prophet and there was this king. The king was called Balak. And the prophet was called Balaam. And the king wanted the Israelites cursed. So he realized that they've been blessed. So there was no way he could do anything. So he called this prophet, Balaam, and then he told him that, go and curse these people. Because I know you're a great prophet. If at least you curse them, I know something great can happen, you know. So Balaam was going, you know, and he asked God. All along, God told him, don't go, don't go, don't go. Then he kept asking God. So sometimes when you keep doing that, you hear a yes for yourself. But that's not the will of God. You get it? Yeah. So the yes that he was hearing, it wasn't the will of God. Like if every day you come to me, oh Lord, should I marry Patrick? Lord, should I marry Patrick? Lord, I want to marry Patrick. Lord, I want to marry Patrick. Lord, you know, I can see Patrick. I can see Patrick. Suddenly you hear. And you'll be even having dreams. And in the dream, you'll be in your wedding gown. And Patrick will be by you. And you'll be saying, this ring, and whatever. Then you'll be saying, I do. Yes, because you are the one who wants it. So because you want it so badly, the voice of God, your voice becomes the voice of God. So Balaam also did the same thing. The voice of God, or his voice, became the voice of God. And then he heard, okay, go, go, go. So as he was going, God was still being merciful to Balaam. And as he was going, he sent an angel to tell him that, look, it's time to stop what you are doing. So he was going, riding his donkey. And his donkey began to have visions and revelations. The donkey was having visions and revelation. The donkey's eyes were open. He saw angels trying to prevent them from going. And Balaam was sitting on the donkey, upset. Ah, what's wrong with you? Let's go and curse these people. Why are you not going? Took his whip, started whipping the donkey. You bad donkey. Useless donkey. And then the donkey was like, look, God opened the donkey's mouth too. And then the donkey began to speak. Say, all these years I've served. What evil have I done to you that you are doing this to me? All these years. All these years. The problem is that there's an angel here which is stopping us and preventing you from going to do this bad, evil thing that you are going to do. Because who God has blessed is blessed. Why are you going to curse people that God has blessed? And Balaam saw that, look, he had been delivered. Yeah. Sometimes stopping is what you need to do. I said sometimes stopping is what you need to do. You've been quarreling and quarreling and quarreling and quarreling. You've quarreled with your mother, quarreled with your father, quarreled with your grandmother, quarreled with your grandfather, you've quarreled with your husband, you've quarreled with your wife, you've quarreled with your stepmom, you've quarreled with your auntie, you've quarreled with everybody. And you are almost 60. It is time to stop. You've been quarreling in the marriage. The pastor has been talking to you. Year one, year two, year three. You are still quarreling. You are still not listening. Quarreling and quarreling and quarreling. I'm here to tell you that it is time to stop. You have to stop. It is one of the maneuvers. You have to stop quarreling. It's important. Yeah. You have to stop being stiff. Set in your ways. Difficult. It's time to stop. It's time to say, Lord, the way I'm behaving, everything around me is spoiling. My job is spoiling. My marriage is spoiling. My children are angry with me. My cousins don't like me. Everything is spoiling. It is time to stop. Yeah. I remember when I was 21. And this situation arose in my house. Because I remember it because I decided that when I was 21, I was going to really celebrate my 21st birthday. But this situation arose in my house and I couldn't celebrate my 21st birthday. And the situation kept going on. 21, 22, 26, I was married. Hey, the situation was still going on. Then 28, I had my child, you know, and then I asked my mother to come help me take care of my son. So when she came, I was like, so how are things in the house? I said, oh, everything's okay, cry. I said, hey, really? Oh, things are fine. I said, so what happened? I said, you know what? My auntie, that's my mom's auntie, said, my auntie and her husband came to the house and called your father and myself and sat us down and said, it is time to stop. It's time to stop. Because now all the children have left the house. The two of you are still in the house quarreling. About what? It's time to stop. So they stopped quarreling and they became the best of friends. Till death did they part. Yes. And recently, you know, my father is not well. He started talking. Say, you know what? When I die, I say, please. Just bury me by my wife. I say, hey! You should bury you by your wife. It's time to stop. It's time to stop. It's time to stop certain behaviors. It's time to stop certain things. It's time to stop certain lazy things as a Christian. It's time to stop your backsliding. It is time to stop. It's a maneuver. It is a maneuver. And we need to what? Stop. Who take the last maneuver? The last maneuver is a serpent must be capable of moving out. Capable of moving out. Says the disciples were given an explicit commandment to go into the world and preach the gospel. But they did not go because they had become happy and established in Jerusalem. They were stuck in the mud. Do you know the primary school stuck in the mud? Yeah. And when it gets stuck in the mud, the elephant tries to help it, then the elephant will get stuck in the mud. Then the other animals, the giraffe will come, then the giraffe will get stuck in the mud. Says this is a dangerous phenomenon, and it's happening in the church today. You must be capable of moving out of your comfortable and cozy cities into the fields where the harvest is ripe. And I want to end with this. Why? Because we love it in church, isn't it? It's nice. When I come to church, oh, look at my beautiful sister. Then we smile. We are together again. Just praising the Lord. We are together again. Oh, with one accord. With one accord. Something good. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We are together again. Just praising the Lord. Isn't it nice? But God wants us to learn to move out. Get out of our comfort zone. And what is happening today is one of the things that we are not too comfortable with. Yeah. Because we are going out there to feed and to minister. I mean, who doesn't like it when you meet the beautiful brethren? You see. But today we are going to meet other people who are some, a lot of, especially alcohol. Yeah. They are really under real bondage when it comes to alcohol and so many, many things. And some of them, drugs, many other things. But if we don't go out there and we just do, we are together again, just praising the Lord. We are together, and then we are hugging each other. I love you. I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, yes, I love you. We can be loving ourselves, whilst others are out there perishing. Their situations won't be changing. So this is a maneuver that God wants us as a church to also take. A maneuver of moving out of our comfort zone. A maneuver of doing something that you haven't done before. You get it? But you realize that as we go there and you go and preach and pray for the people and do all those things, what happens is that you yourself, you come back very, very, very happy. Well, I don't know how to describe it. Sister Del, yesterday when you went, weren't you happy when you came back? Very, very. Oh, Aunt Evelyn, too, you were there. You see that you are very, very happy and content. You're like, I've done, you don't know what it is, but you feel very, 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 very happy. So if you are just there with your same old problem, same old whatever, you can just get depressed. But today I want to invite all of us, amen, I want to invite all of us to be a part of it. Brother Alex, I'm really waiting to see you lay hands on somebody and see the sick recovered in the name of Jesus. Turn to Brother Alex and let's prophesy to him. Say, Brother Alex, we are waiting, 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 we are waiting. We are waiting. Hallelujah. So I'm expecting all of us to be a part of today's outreach and ministry. Will we be coming? Or we are like the guy who said, say, I come and didn't go. Let's all be what? There, all right? And God is going to really, really, really bless his work. You will see how God can use you to even pray for someone who is sick and see the person receive healing. Amen. Wow. Let's pray. Let's pray for ourselves. Say, Jesus. Pray for yourself and say, Father, give me the ability to make turns in my life. Give me the ability to not be stiff. Not be stiff. Not be stiff. Not be stiff. Pray for yourself. And especially a U-turn. I don't know, I just feel the Lord saying some people need to do U-turns. U-turns. I just feel God saying, you are heading the wrong direction. You are heading the wrong direction with this. You are heading the wrong direction with this other. And you need to do a U-turn and turn around and turn around and turn around and turn around so that God can even use you to the max and cause your life to affect many. In the name of Jesus, pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. If you've fallen far away from God, today is an opportunity. Say, Lord, my heart is not where it used to be. Oh, I used to love your work. I used to love the things of God. But I'm so disappointed with the many headaches and things, situations that I've faced. Maybe your something about your marriage or your child or something that you were not expecting happened, and because of that your heart is like closed, and there's this gap between you and God. Today is one of the days that you can make a U-turn and say, Lord, it is me again. And God does not care how many times we come to him. Just like the father, he met the young boy. The Bible says he fell on his neck. God wants to fall on your neck today. God wants to receive you again today. And says, child, it's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time to have that deep relationship with me again. It's time for you to set your course aright again. It's time. Father, we thank you and we bless you. Thank you that we are making U-turns in our lives. Thank you that we are making C-turns in our lives. Thank you that today, oh God, we'll stop when it comes to certain things that needs to stop in our lives. And thank you that our wisdom, oh yes, we'll live with it. The wisdom of the serpent, so that we'll be promoted in your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody paying their tithe? Sir Eunice, are you singing? Hallelujah. Glory. Mm-hmm.